The word of God, which is so awesome. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, one of the young men came, Davon Dudley came, and he read those passages of scriptures. And what I'm going to do again, I don't think I need to read it, but I'm going to read it again anyway because I just feel like it. It says this: Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Everyone say Abel. Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. There's a movie that I believe a lot of us are familiar with. But before I talk about that movie, I want us to just bow our heads so I can pray for us and then we'll go along. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you've done thus far in the service. We thank you now, God, as I stand behind this sacred desk to be a mouthpiece of your word, God. I pray that you would speak to me. I'm nothing but a mere servant, God. Use me so that your people may be edified, encouraged, lifted, and challenged. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I don't know, but if you're in here today and you've seen the movie Drumline, I want you to say, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I got some people here who've seen that movie. But there's a special part in Drumline, and I believe it's the final scene. And in the final scene, there's this kind of competition that's going between the two squads. One team wearing purple and yellow, the other team wearing blue and white. They compete. Line up right in front of each other and playing that. Right? Playing the drums. And when I saw that movie, I thought about this idea. And I thought about this idea. The idea came to mind that if these young men who are playing the drums, if one of them is out of order, then the entire squad is out of order. So, therefore, in order for them to make sure that they're in line, like the men of valor, in order for them to make sure that they're in line, they must be well prepared. You must be well prepared. Young people, I believe if you're going to be a successful individual, if you're going to be a successful young man, young woman in the years to come, you have to make sure that you hold on to the idea of being prepared. You can't just show up. I know some people are good. They don't need this, but I wrote some stuff down on the iPad. If I don't get to it, at least I said something. Amen? But you got to be prepared. And I was moved when I came across this movie, because these young men, these young ladies put hours and hours of time into practicing just to master their craft. So this morning, I want to lift up a thought to you, and it's a question. And the question is, which line are you in? Which line are you in? Obviously, when you see the movie, there's two teams. One team is the winner, and the other team is the loser. Somebody say, wow. So my question to you today, which line are you in? Are you in the line that's the winning squad, or are you in the line that's not on the winning end? Which line are you in? I believe, young people, if you want to make sure that your life is in the right line, you have to learn how to be a hard worker. You can't be lazy. You can't be lazy. I'm a teacher. You come to my class and you're lazy, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. You got to learn how to work hard. Secondly, you have to be willing to put some effort into what you're doing. You can't just show up. Show up in class. Hi, teacher. I'm here, but you're not doing any work. You got to learn how to be dedicated to success. When you're dedicated to success, you go to sleep with success next to you. When you're dedicated to success, you wake up in the morning and success is standing right there. What's up, buddy? You have to be dedicated to success. And lastly, if you want to stay in the right line, the successful line, that is, David, if you want to stay in the successful line, you have to make sure that you are disciplined. You got to make sure that you're disciplined. Because if you're not disciplined, it's going to be impossible for you to be successful. You see me right here? I'm a very active individual. But I realized that if I was going to be a teacher, I had to discipline myself to sit down and read. That was really exciting. I had to discipline myself to sit down and to read. Why? Because I wanted to be able to teach history. And young people, if you want to be successful in whatever area of your life, you have to make sure that you stay in line and you're staying in line with being disciplined. Ask the person next to you, which line are you in? Which line are you in? Now, I want you to think for a second. I want you to think of instances, situations, circumstances, moments that you find yourself in the wrong line. Now, imagine this. You're on the line at the grocery store. And there's one person in front of you, and you're next in line. But after the cashier finishes with the person who's in front of you, I'm close. Being in the wrong line. Think about this. You run into the store just to pick up something small. Perhaps you wanted some potato chips. Right? So you run in there, boom, 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 boom. Let me go get me some potato chips. And then when you come and stand in line, the person in front of you is buying the entire store. Now, you spend less time shopping, and now you're going to spend more time standing in line just to buy a bag of potato chips. Being in the wrong line. Okay, husband, wife. No, I'm not going to go over that part. I'm going to skip down. Yeah. Now, imagine this one, right? You're at a party. Boom, 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 boom. You're at the party, and there's this last beautiful Southern culture infested in poles, Southern fried chicken. And it's the last one on the plate. And you're trying to make your way. You see Rev at the party. Say, hey, what's up, Rev? You can't even shake his hand, but hey, what's up, Rev? You know? You're trying to make your way to the plate to grab that last piece of chicken. Now, as soon as you go like this, someone else snatches that chicken. Being in the wrong line. Ask your neighbor, which line are you in? Which line are you in? But the simple fact goes like this. If you will flip those situations around where you're in the right line, perhaps when you're at the grocery store, you're the last person that the cashier is working with. And you're looking at the people back, feel sorry for you. You trying to laugh at, oh, I'm so sorry, you know. You're the person that the cashier is taking care of because you're in the right line. You're in the right line. You're in the right line. Young people, I want to say to you today that being in the right line will allow you to experience countless success. Countless success. Countless success. Being in the right line. Today, the time is skipping. It was just 5 minutes now. It's like almost 20, but I see it. Today, the Lord wants to show us two lines in the scripture. And those two lines that the Lord is showing us in the passage of scripture are orchestrated by two sons. One son is Cain. Give the older brother respect. And the other son is Abel, the younger brother. And in this passage of scripture, I see that Cain and Abel establish two lines. And today, church, we find ourselves either in Cain's line or we find ourselves in Abel's line. So the truth of the matter is, which line are you in? Which line are you operating within? You see, Cain was the older brother. But Cain has some issues. Amen? Y'all getting quiet on me now? Don't get quiet on me now. We gonna make it through this. Cain was the older brother, but he had some issues. And Abel, the younger brother, not so much so. Didn't have as much issues. There's nothing wrong with having issues. There's nothing wrong with going through some difficulties if you have the willingness to humble yourself before God and allow the Spirit of the living God to step into your life and to cause a change to come about in you. You see, today, the two lines that we see, Cain's line and we see Abel's line, they use two things to really establish their lineage. They use two things. The first thing is their purpose. Everyone say purpose. Then the second thing is their legacy. Everyone say legacy. Now, when you read Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel both select their purpose. They select the career in which that they're going to abide to or work. They select what they're going to do with their life. Simply so. The Bible says that Cain chose to be a tiller of the land. Cain chose to be a worker of the land. Whereas Abel, he chose to be a caregiver. He chose to take care of the herds. He chose to take care of the cattle. And oftentimes, church, when we come to the house of the Lord, we misunderstand our purpose at times. Are we here to be workers? Or are we here to be caregivers? Are we here to be workers? Or are we here to be caregivers? So Abel, the younger brother, he chose to be a caregiver. And the interesting thing about this passage of scripture, Reverend Jackson, is that if you look in the early parts of Genesis, when God made Adam and Eve, he said, Adam, your job is to take care of the garden. Your job is to provide care for the garden. That was in the garden. That was the purpose for why Adam and Eve were created. But then, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, and they disobeyed the word of God, a new task, a new career is imposed upon Adam. And the new task is that he is going to work with his sweat. He's going to work the ground. He's going to become a worker of the ground. He's going to hustle. Somebody say hustle. He's going to hustle just to make ends meet. Are you following me? So Abel, the younger son, chose the career that God gave his father in the garden. Whereas Cain, the older son, chose the career that came outside of the garden. Are you following me? Are you following me? So when you are in line with Cain, and your purpose is in line with Cain, you find yourself doing all the time in the house of the Lord, but you cannot feel the presence of the living God. You find yourself involved in everything, but the presence of the living God is a distance away from you because you have become a worker. Whereas if you find yourself in line with Abel, you become a person who gives care in the house of the Lord. How does this look like? Well, Sister Jackie, when you show up to church, instead of me looking at you kind of funny, look at her. What's she doing here? It is so good to see you, sister. My goodness. Right? How are you? How you been? You provide care for the individual. Amen? So Abel, even though he's the younger son, he was smart enough to choose the plan that God had for his father. And Cain, the older son, was not that, you know, because he chose the plan that came outside of the garden. Amen? Amen? Young people, I want to encourage you not to choose punishing careers. I want to encourage you not to choose punishment careers. Careers that you're going to sweat, and hustle, just to make ends meet. I want to encourage you not to choose those careers. Because when you do, you're going to be working hard, and you're not going to see the outcome of your work. But if you choose a career, you choose a career like Abel did. You choose a career that's in line with the plan of God. You're going to be successful and you don't have to hustle as much. Now, I'm challenging myself because I have a lot in here. But I'm going to go slow and get to where I get to. When time is up, time is up. Amen? I remember, deacons, when I was in college, I was working at A&P. Anybody ever been to A&P before? Say, oh, yeah. I was working. Oh, see, they're close. They're sisters. Right? But I was working at A&P. And, I mean, Rev, I used to come on the weekend, get in that deli, slashing the cold cuts. £1 of ham, no problem. £1 of ham. There you go. I was working in the deli. But you know what I was saying to myself? I can't wait till I graduate college. Because when I graduate, I will not be working at A&P anymore. So the fact that I was at A&P hustling, sweating, it was motivating me to, one, to not keep a punishing career, but rather to have a career where I can be able to enjoy myself. No work on the weekends, you know. You guys, listen, working on the weekend is not fun. Some of y'all work on the weekends, y'all know it's not fun, right? It's not fun, and I wanted to stop that. So young people, I want to encourage you to choose careers that are not going to make you suffer, all right? So study hard. Everyone say study hard. Straight up, study hard. So the second thing you see in Cain and Abel, in terms of their purpose, is their giving. Reverend Jackson, when I was doing this one, I came to the point, I said, Reverend's going to love this part. This part was a good part. Yeah. You see, the line of your purpose
will dictate the kind of offering you give. Mm-hmm. Now, think about this. When you give an offering, you're not giving because you won, you have so much. You're not giving because of that. Let me tell you why you're giving. The value of your offering is based upon the intention of your heart. The value of your offering is not based upon the amount. Because some people can afford to write a check for $500. One day I want to come there. Some people can afford to do that. But when you give, your offering should be valued based upon the intention of your heart. The Bible tells the story of a widow in Mark chapter 12. Now, she was at a church service, and she had a lot of rich people there. These cats were coming up. Rev, I mean, they came up with big checks, man. 20 grand. They had money. You know? And they were dropping the huge checks, putting all this, and this little old lady come, and she put her pennies in the offering basket, and Jesus said, she has given the biggest out of all these people. Why? Because her offering was based upon the intention of her heart. The Bible says that she gave out of her poverty, not out of her wealth. Amen? Amen. So, you find the same thing happened with Cain and Abel. Cain brings an offering out of obligation. God, I worked the land. Here's your offering. Take it. Bible said whatever your hand could reach to grab, he grabbed it. He brought it before the Lord. That's what he did. Take it, God. That's what Cain did. He gave his offering out of obligation. Whereas Abel, when he brought his offering, he brought the best out of the fattest portion he had. He brought that and he gave it to the Lord. The intention of his heart was in the right place. I believe sometimes, yes, we're told in church that you should give 10%, but some of you guys, some of you, God might press upon your heart to give more. I believe that happens. Yes. Right? When you're giving based upon the intention of your heart, you will follow the desire that God is placing in you to give beyond that 10%. But when you're giving out of obligation, oh, well, that's all Rev asked for. You know what? Take this, Rev. That's it. Take it for the church. So I want to encourage you guys. I'm going to stop right there because it's 1 o'clock, and I want to be sensitive to the time. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. God, we thank you today for this word that came forth. The question was posed, which line are you in? Lord, we see two young men in the scripture. One chose to walk in line with your promises, and the other chose to walk in line with his promises. Father, I want to pray today for each one of your sons and daughters who are gathered here. I pray, Father, that they will be encouraged to walk in line with your promises, God. No matter how difficult life might get, circumstances that might come about, Lord, give them the strength, the heart, the desire to want to walk in line with your promises, Lord. We ask, Father God, your blessing upon this word. May it fall on good grounds. May it fall upon our good ground in our hearts, Lord God, that it would just take hold. And we'll learn how to be caregivers in your house, Lord. Learn how to give love in your house, Lord God. Learn how to show love, Father God, in your house, Lord. Learn how to be love. So when somebody see us, they might not read what the Bible said, but they can look at a smile on our face or the joy in our lives to say, behold, the word of God is true, for I see it for myself. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.